I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday? Sure. What day is it, Ryan?
It's the 19th of May where I am on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah. We got Grumpy Wilson. Let's go. We got Grumpy Wilson. I love Grumpy Wilson.
I love that you call me a grumpy after you're late because you were taking a grumpy. That works out perfectly.
Pull up your pants, take off the pawn, be a man.
Hey, Breach, who is Brinson? Is he Nick Saban or is he Jimbo Fisher?
Oh, he's 100% Nick Saban.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is that good or bad? I don't know. Is that good or bad?
Are you not following that story?
It's a great story. It's amazing. But I mean,
you're 100% Nick Saban. Like, you try to get away with things, then call people out when they try to get away with things that affect you. That's 100% you.
All right. So I'm sure that the Ion College Pass. The
years it.
Cover three
is the football podcast.
It's CBS Sports. Football podcast. Our friends Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli. And Bud Elliott.
Are they our friends? You didn't even know the name of the podcast.
Jeez, that was 2008 where he is.
Chip Patterson is absolutely my friend. He's not your friend, Breach. He's my friend. He's Ryan Wilson's friend too.
Just tell the story. Again, you're just Nick Saban it up before you tell the story about Nick Saban. And
so the NIL stuff, you can now like pay player. You can financially incentivize players to come to your school and play for your team. And Texas A&M ended up with the best recruiting class in college football, beating out Alabama. Jimbo Fisher, of course, former assistant with Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher at A&M, Nick Saban at Alabama. And Saban got all pissy and pointed out that, like, I don't know if it was some event. I don't think it was a press conference.
I wonder if it was like a private event. You know, these politicians always get exposed for saying things to these private events. I wonder if it was a private event and someone turned their phone on.
I think he knew he'd probably be resume, but I don't know if he wasn't like speaking into a microphone at like a Alabama, you know, spring game press conference.
Right.
And he said that, you know, he's like, yeah, we had the number two recruiting class, but they paid every player to come. And basically he was like, this has got to change. It's ridiculous. Jimbo Fisher, again, a former assistant under Nick Saban at LSU, where they won a national title together and had great success, called an emergency press conference at, I think, 10:30 on Thursday morning and absolutely unloaded on Saban. He called him despicable multiple times. He said that, go ahead, dig into his past. I know what happened there. I've been there. I've seen it. I know what happened. Go ahead and dig on in. He's like, and basically accused like Saban of just being the dirtiest guy in the history of college football. And so now it's on like Donkey Kong. Get the popcorn ready. Lane Kiffin told Bruce Feldman he was speechless for the first time in his life when he saw all this unfolding. I think I'm really more of a Jimbo type than a Nick Saban type, but I'll take the Nick Saban compliment.
Yeah, that's 100%. You're Nick Saban. Nick Saban's supposed
you
to
you saying that you're more of a Jimbo type than Nick Saban type means you're Nick Saban type.
Something that Nick Saban would say.
What do you guys? What do you think? You guys are Jimbos?
No. I'm probably running the concession stand, for being honest.
you're
I'm the Lane Kiffin in the situation. I'm just laughing. No. The world not, burns down.
You are not Lane
nice
Kiffin.
Nice try.
What? No, me and Lane Kiffin are boys.
You're like Ed Orton.
No,
you're, like, you're Ed Orgeron. You like stumbled into something good. Can't hold it together. You drink a bunch of Red Bull. You know, you probably try to hit on women at the gas station because you're like, ah, you know, I am. I'm John Breach.
I think he's actually Marvin Lewis. He's the assistant coach at Arizona State after a
That's a good one. That's a good call.
I like Marvin Lewis. That's a joke.
That make you Herm Edwards?
I'll take Herm.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take Herm.
You guys are both running Pete Prisco's.
Right. We're running the program into the ground solely to aggravate Pete Prisco. Most accomplished.
So remember Ray Edwards, who used to work for the NFL?
Yeah, he was he official and then went to the NFL? Is that Ray Edwards?
He was in. Yeah, he was like.
No, that was Ray Anderson. Go ahead. Sorry.
Ray Anderson. Yeah, did I say Ray Edwards? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ray Anderson's who?
Ray Anderson left the NFL to go be the Arizona State athletic director.
Oh, that's right. He did do that.
And he brought Herm Edwards over because they're boys. And he used to be Herm's agent, I think. I remember seeing Ray Anderson at the Combine in the downstairs bar at St. Elmo's. And we're walking in to get dinner, and me and Prisco are in there. And Prisco walks up to me, and he goes, Ray, you got to start paying the players. It's just ridiculous. Just pay the players and win a title. I need a title before I die, Ray. And Ray's like, I don't think you're supposed to be saying that to me, Mr. Alumni guy.
You know, it's funny that you say that. We were at the Combine this year walking out of just the where they do the bench press and all that stuff, and the fans are. And he sees some young guy wearing an Arizona sweatshirt, and he literally says the same thing. Like, he literally said the same thing that you just said.
To Ray Anderson?
No, you took your headphones off, so as I was telling the story, it sort of
diminished
the effectiveness of it. But I think Pete's been saying that story about Arizona State to anyone that looks like they're loosely associated with Arizona State for what sounds like 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's like nobody cares about the Sun Devils, Pete. All right, anyway, nobody cares about college football on this podcast. We care about the NFL.
The NFL equivalent of this would definitely be Belichick, right?
Belichick. It was Belichick and what's-his-face in the Jets.
Mangini?
Yeah, Mangini.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It would be like Josh. Yeah, I mean, it is just basically Spygate. It'd be like McDaniels going to the Raiders and like spilling, like
no. Belichick calling McDaniels out first, and then McDaniels retaliating by saying, "Oh yeah, you wonder how we won those Super Bowls?
Yeah,
I got the VHS tapes to prove it.
VHS tapes. I think gonna say the VH1 award show. I was like, what? That would be awesome.
Belichick 100% owns a VCR.
Yeah.
Yeah. News and notes, rumors about the NFL. Man, I got to tell you, it's pretty slow in these streets, guys. What's your...
Oh, boy, here we go. Can't wait to hear this question, Breach.
What's your favorite item from the NFL NFL news cycle over the last week, Breach?
Your favorite item?
My favorite item? Well, I have to write a newsletter every day that covers six topics, Brinson. So I actually stay up to date on what's going on, unlike some people on the podcast. So my favorite item, probably the most interesting one, is that James Bradbury signed with the Eagles. You're the Giants. Not only do you let him walk, but he ends up with a division rival. That's literally worst case scenario. I don't know how you let that happen. Well, you let it happen because you didn't trade him and you cut him and decided what he wants. And now he has, now you're eating a bigger cap hit than the Eagles are for James Bradbury. So that whole situation is kind of the Giants in a nutshell. Although the Giants have turned over a new leaf and they're a well-run organization, better run organization now. And it's not really their fault that they were left in kind of salary cap hell. And that was one of those moves that they really had to make so they had salary cap space because they needed it. And so they didn't have a choice. And now he ends up with the Eagles. Now he gets to face the Giants twice a year. And I'm sure he loves that, knowing that he gets to try and pick off Daniel Jones in an actual game rather than in practice.
Dunk
on Danny Dimes.
My favorite item, if you will, and Breach, I would like your reaction to this. I got this email the other day, and it says, it's a video that says, Will Brinson joins Amanda Garrett to break down why the Bengals won't win the Super Bowl in the middle of May. What was your initial reaction to that?
What was mine? My initial reaction was that Brinson has gone full Brinson. He is fully embracing the every time in the podcast, he has to bring up the fact the Bengals lost in the Super Bowl. And I think his goal is to
see. Unfortunately, you just brought it up.
If he can make it. Brinson's goal before the season starts to see if he can make me tear up thinking about the Bengals Super Bowl loss. I'm on to you, Brinson. I am on to you.
I'm not trying to make you tear up about the Bengals losing the Super Bowl to the Rams and Matthew Stafford. I'm just pointing out facts.
So mean.
I like to point out facts. By the way, Victor Garcia asked in the chat, when is the next mailbag? Monday.
Momentarily.
Yes, I don't know. We may record it live this afternoon. Anywho, the Bradbury thing is definitely the biggest news. I think it's interesting for two reasons. One, I really, really like the Eagles. I mean, it's hard not to get excited about this Eagles, my Eagles team. My Eagles.
Debo's been gone a long time.
Mm-hmm. He's going to come back, and I'm going to have like a Philly special tattoo. Like, what is the Eagles' biggest weakness?
Quarterback.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if Jalen Hurts is like, I mean, Jalen Hurts played well at times last year.
No one's disagreeing with you, but the biggest question is quarterback.
For sure. Yeah. But I mean, I just think if Jalen Hurts takes a step in his second year with, second year with Nick Sirianni, who I think is probably a better coach than is being given credit for, and his third year as an NFL starter, there's a decent chance his Eagles team can win 12, 13, 14 games.
Oh, I'm going to pick them to win the division as we sit here. And
plus 230 to win the division.
I think I said this on the HQ show with Brady and BMAC that you backed out of, so I had to do an hour and a half. You and Breach both, by the way. I trust.
I did not back out of it. I said that I could only record for 70 minutes, and then they kicked me off.
You couldn't.
I said that. I had a 70-minute time limit.
70-minute window to record.
70-minute window, and I was told that wasn't big enough, and that I was no longer needed.
You couldn't
do
the full 100. Couldn't do the full 100 minutes. Got it.
Could not. The 147 minutes or whatever, based on what you said. 107 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I
trust. How long was it? 149 minutes or something?
No, it was an hour and 46 minutes. So 106 is Breach. Breach danced around there. But what I said on that show was that I trust Nick Sirianni a lot more than Mike McCarthy, even if the Cowboys on paper are a better football team, and I'm not even sure they are.
Like James Bradbury, Darius Slay, and then Anthony Harris. I mean, like they got some.
They drafted some Jordan Davis. They drafted Nakobe Dean. I mean,
and neither one of those guys has to play. And the Cam Jurgens, those guys don't have to play like a ton of snaps immediately. Like they can be rotational guys. And if they play really well, more rotations. And if somebody gets hurt, they've got depth there. Andre Dillard say it's because he's not, as good as they hoped he would be. But I mean, like he's 2019 first rounder and isn't starting on the offensive line. Like this is a really deep team on both lines. It's a team that has it reminds me a little bit of 2017's Eagles team in terms of the depth on both sides of the lines. And if Jalen Hurts takes a step forward, they can be really good. Conversely, and actually I was on Bill Barnwell's pod this week as well.
Take a shot, Ryan.
Oh, just you can do everyone's show but ours shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot. There it is. Humble brag.
That, I thought that was taken as red. Go ahead.
Just assume. I guess I thought you guys just assumed you knew it was coming. But we were sort of talking about how, we were doing over-unders, and I picked the Eagles over, and Bill actually took the Giants under. And, I was pointing out that, the Bradbury thing for the Giants, I mean, they did – it was they couldn't trade him. They wanted to make sure that the cap is in a better spot down the road. But, that sort of informs where the Giants are at this year, I think. They would love to win games and surprise some people, but I think that new regime with Joe Shane and then Brian Daboll as the coach understand that – this is not a one-year turnaround, and I think they've impressed that upon ownership as well. And my sort of sense of it is that, they come in the interview and they're like, "Hey, look, we think Daniel Jones has some nice traits. We've seen him play. We think he can do some stuff. We can give it a shot, but we're not going to commit to Daniel Jones past 1 year." And I think ownership was like, "Okay, that's fine. See what you can do this year, and if it doesn't work out, we'll move on." And so, I think that they're kind of okay if Danny Dimes is terrible again and they lose a bunch of games and they can have a high pick and they can draft a quarterback with that high pick or, keep adding talent, then bring in a quarterback later. So, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into James Bradbury's the transaction with Bradbury, but I do think the Giants are, okay with losing this year.
Yeah, I don't know if any team is okay with losing. I mean, you don't come if you're Brian Daboll. Why are you taking that job and leaving the Bills job to be okay with to win three football games and then try to find a quarterback? I think they're trying to win games. Like, I think they're trying to win the division. I think, you know, sometimes teams have to move on from good players. I think that's just an example of that. I actually think they probably, like, finishing third in that division feels realistic to me. Like, I'm not on Washington at all.
I'm out on Washington. I'm just out on Carson Wentz teams in general.
That's a good rule of thumb to follow. Yeah,
just stay away from Carson Wentz teams. That's right. Wilson, what was your favorite transactional news over the past week?
Look at this. This is a guy we don't have a rundown.
You know, I'm trying to see how much Wilson's paid attention because I don't think
I've got another one. I made a list.
Hold on, Breach. Before you go on, this is Brinson. His book report is due today, and the teacher says, "What did you think of the book?" And the first thing Brinson says in the front of the classroom is, "No, excuse me, Mrs. Smith. What did you think of the book?" you go ahead. But one thing I was going to ask, and we talk about it in a second. I was just sort of Florio Pro Football Talk put this out there, and I'm actually sort of I've been thinking about this. Privately, if you will, I'm over Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady feels like Will Ferrell to me, and that he is everywhere. He is ubiquitous, and I've just had enough of him, and I'm sick of him. And I wonder if this is the year that all the things he's doing outside of football catches up with him. Maybe not. Maybe it isn't. But at the very least, I'm done with Tom Brady. Like, I just think like, every time I turn around, I see him, whether it's the Hertz commercials, whether it's the NFT stuff, whether it's the cryptocurrency, whether it's him trying to buy professional sports teams, whether it's the documentaries, whether it's the
getting his own Netflix special.
His own Netflix special. Like, I'm just done. Like, I don't know if he has time as a 45-year-old to put in the work he needs to put in, and maybe he's beyond that. I almost liked him better when he was under Bill Belichick's thumb and he wasn't allowed to do anything except play football. And even then, I didn't like him very much because he would whoop up on the Steelers 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year, it felt like.
My God, Wilson, I understand. Does that mean you're going to pick against the Buccaneers?
The over-under for the Buccaneers, I think the over-under for the Buccaneers is either 10, 10.5, or 11. I took under, and I said they're going to win 8 games this year.
They're going to win at least like 5 games in the division. So good.
I mean, they lost both their starting guards. That's a lot of replacement you have to do.
Josh Dooley in the chat says, pretty sure Tampa will be an under 500 team this year. He went 1 year
Josh,
too many.
And that's what Ryan just said. Josh, and Ryan, are you Josh Dooley? Is that your burner?
Maybe.
But you think
I just wonder, like, I'm just tired of Tom Brady. Like, I mentioned the Will Ferrell comparison. Like, you know, after.
Will Ferrell got to be.
What's the one with him and Luke Wilson where he's running through the streets naked?
Old School was great.
Old School was
after Old School.
No, it was post Anchorman when it got to be like, okay.
Those are around, I think, 2003 to 2007. I think those when those came out. I think those are
Old School was like 2001.
Okay, 2 years off. Either way, my point is.
Oh, 2003, Old School. I'm sorry, you're right.
Oh, it's exactly what I just said. Weird. After that stretch, he was in literally everything. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like every cameo, the nadir for him was D'Angelo Vickers in The Office. I was like, okay, this is just too much.
That was the jump the shark moment. That's right.
But anyway, I wonder if Tom Brady's getting to that point. Obviously, both extremely talented, one of the best at what they do, but just I've had enough. That's all I'm saying.
Are you saying you didn't like Land of the Lost?
I actually had to watch that.
What are you?
And it was, I mean, that was a Jack. Wait, was Jack Black in that? Because Brian. Okay,
Step Brothers is 2008. Step Brothers is hilarious.
07's Anchorman, correct?
Anchorman was actually a 4.
Oh, okay. So I was right. Dang it.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think when he.
But I feel like.
Anchorman 2, 2013. By that point, somewhere between 2008 and 2013, he was like, okay, Will Ferrell, enough.
Closer to 08, I think. What Breach?
No, I do agree with Wilson. I think everything after 2004 is hit or miss. Like, some people love it and some people don't, whether it's Talladega Nights.
No. Step Brothers is not hit or miss.
Blades of Glory.
You just said some things are hit or miss.
No, Step Brothers is not hit or miss. Step Brothers is hit.
That's what he's saying.
No, some people love the movie. I feel like everything before 2004, for most people agree that it's like Elf, Old School. Like, everybody loves those movies. Right.
They're all home runs.
Right. And then after that, they're all... There's not 100% consensus.
A lot of pop-ups.
I'm saying he's wrong. There's 100% consensus. No one dislikes Step Brothers.
I don't like Step Brothers.
That's just a lie. You've never watched
it. 2 out of 3.
That's two. You're two wrong. People
on this podcast. Go watch it. It's
literally 66% of the people on this podcast don't like
Step 67. Brothers. The larger point is
no one does like.
The larger point, 6. And the one that you jumped on, Brinson, before you got distracted, is that he has jumped a shark. It's just a matter of when you pinpoint it. My point is that I feel like that's the path Brady's going down. And it's just personally annoying to me. That's all.
It's overexposure of Tom Brady.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the headline that Florida had, is Tom Brady running the risk of overexposure. And yeah. I always make the Will Ferrell comparison because it's just too, I don't care. Go away. So I think part of me wanting him to go away is if they win 8 football games, then he'll move on to something else.
I can't wait till somebody aggregates this. And the headline is Ryan Wilson says that Tom Brady is the NFL's Will Ferrell.
That's a good, I would imagine most people.
You literally would have to click to find out if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And then if Will Ferrell reads this, he's going to be upset with you. Like, yo, bro, my career.
How are you not going to make that the title of your newsletter?
Yeah, right. Podcast.
That will be the headline tomorrow.
It should be.
Friday's news. By the way, you should subscribe to the newsletter, which will come out.
We should promote that more often. Yes.
Yeah, we probably should. It's the Pick 6 newsletter.
I have 8 as the over-under for the Buccaneers. Where are you guys at on the 2022 Buccaneers?
Are you nuts?
I'm going over.
Are you serious?
Have you seen their division?
No, what's your win total? I'm asking for
I'll take 13. They're going to win the division. They're going to cruise the division.
Rach, what are you going to think? What are you going to think? What are you going to say?
I mean, I'll say at least 10. I don't think they're going to have a losing record. I just think the division's trash.
Sleeping on Jameis and whoever the other teams are in the division that I can't think of right now.
Marcus Mariota. Sam Darnold. I'm sleeping on them.
Oh, gosh. All right, Jameis. Fingers crossed. Work your magic.
That was a good good deflection there on your favorite news item of the week.
Wilson. All right, what's your next one, Breach?
Let's take a break. When we come back, Breach will tell us what his second favorite news item of the week was.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping in Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
So, Breach, you were teasing us with a great piece of news from the last week.
I wasn't teasing. I was just saying I have a list that we can follow if anybody runs out.
Yeah, what you got?
One thing I thought interesting this week is Deshaun Watson is being interviewed by the NFL.
That was going to be mine, but let's go for it.
Yeah, there it is.
We know that CBS Sports Insider Josina Anderson broke that story on Tuesday.
She also tweeted something interesting. Did y'all see were you going to mention this too? I don't want to.
No, go ahead. We're talking about everything.
Josina tweeted that at least one NFL source, I think a source like within the NFL, suggested that the league could potentially take a Trevor Bauer approach with Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you guys know who Trevor Bauer is or what happened to him, but
yep,
he had a civil lawsuit filed against him for sexual misconduct allegations, and the pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he was suspended for, was it 2 years or just 1 year?
1 year.
At least 1 year. Yeah, suspended for the full season, which is kind of shocking. There was some talk that Bauer refused to take like a negotiated suspension. In other words, they were going to do a suspension with like time served or something, but then he didn't want to take it. Anyway, they suspended him for the full year, despite the fact that the case has been dismissed, and he had actually filed a suit against his accusers and the Athletic or the Los Angeles Times, well, some media company. And the
what Josina was pointing out is that like the league could say, you know what, we're not going to be the ones that, you know, turn a blind eye towards this sort of off-field accusations, and that they could potentially suspend Deshaun Watson for a very lengthy amount of time. I just found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was just one source. I don't think they had any insight. That's just what they were saying.
It's right? Just pure speculation. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, the thing is, though, where do you draw the line between, you know, who's accused of doing what in the legal system and what you think this person has done?
Ooh, you know? And Bauer suspension is 2 years. I was wrong. It goes to the 19th.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They suspended for 2 years.
19th yeah. game of the 2024 season. So
that is crazy.
What yeah. Was the Bauer legally what had happened to Trevor Bauer? Anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
Of sexual assault.
But that's it. So he got fired from his job for 2 years despite no legal, no sort of court weighing in.
Yeah, he was not in any kind of trouble like legally. It was all civil.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well, so that is
those are the similarities there with Deshaun Watson.
And that's the interesting thing with the Deshaun case is it's not just there's literally 22 cases though. And so if the NFL looks at this in an individual manner, you know, you're not saying, hey, he violated the personal conduct policy because that's what he'd be suspended for if there's no legal implications, if he's not in trouble from a legal standpoint. And they say, oh, he violated it 22 times. Do we suspend him for each violation, or are we giving him a lump suspension for all 22 cases? Or, you know, they are going to do an investigation. Do we think 12 of these cases were credible and 10 weren't? And so there's just a lot of questions here. And, you know, it's been noted multiple times. Josina, I think, noted this too, that usually when the NFL interviews the player involved in the investigation, that is generally one of the last interviews in the investigation. So this presumably means that the NFL is getting ready to wrap up this investigation. And so, yeah, and you can't look like you're soft handsing Watson after after baseball gives Trevor Bauer 2 years. So you can't, you know, NFL is going to get ripped if Deshaun Watson only gets suspended, say, 4 games.
There is no tangible benefit whatsoever to the NFL for giving Deshaun Watson less than an 8-game suspension. You know, like, yeah. Like there is no way in which the NFL benefits by not just hammering him and forcing him to appeal and try to get the suspension reduced. I mean, right? Like if you're the NFL, like Bauer gets 2 years. I mean, that's a lot more games. Like, I mean, and then Deshaun Watson, and like, if the other thing is, if you, I think what would happen with this contract?
I'm making $1 million a year.
That's the crazy part, is that if he got suspended for 2 years, he doesn't get paid because, you know, he planned for that. If it was a 4 or 6 game suspension, the Browns still owe him the back end of that deal. They still have to pay him out fully for those final 3 years. So they're out whatever, the $120 million.
Like, yeah, we did the math at the time. It ends up being like $55 million a year or something.
Right. So they have to. So if he were to get suspended 2 years, and that's odd, we're just saying if he got the Trevor Bauer suspension, that means he would have been out of football for 3 years because he didn't play last season with the Texans, and the Browns would still owe him over $100 million for a guy who has not played.
Yeah, it'd be like $75 million a year he'd be making at that point or whatever. Yeah, it'd be insane.
And I believe that unless the Browns could...
they'd be on the hook for $138 million if he had 3 more years left.
Right, but like they where's the cap? They I don't believe that they have a prayer of cutting him, because like unless they can prove like that he voids a contract for...
no, they're not cutting him.
Which would be almost impossible given that they knew going into this when they handed him the contract what was up, right? Like
The contract, I can't remember, it might have been four. If somebody broke down the contract, and the only way they can void it is if there is a new case that comes out that he did not make them aware of
during the contract.
Do you know what his dead money numbers are if he's released?
In the billions.
$230 million in 2022. That's just hilarious. They actually would lose $219 million in cap space. $219 million in dead money in 2023 if he's cut, $164 in 2024, $109 million in 2025, and $54.993 million in 2026. He's uncuttable.
So if he's suspended, you just have to keep him on. He doesn't take up a roster spot. I mean, it might not look great, but you got to keep him on your roster.
I mean, he's going to take up in 20. Let's see. If he's suspended in 2023 for some reason, he would eat up 24.4% of the salary cap space.
And not be on the field.
And you could even argue that the Browns would be getting what they...
And you know what's even more concerning in terms of this, the football stuff? Steven Ulrich at Sportsline ran the simulations. And I don't know if you guys saw this email. If you didn't, you can just guess along. Let's say there's a 12-game suspension. What do you think the win total is for Cleveland?
A 12-game suspension?
And this is Steven O doing millions of simulations on how the Browns will do with or without Deshaun Watson. 12-game suspension for Deshaun Watson next season.
What did they win last year with Baker? They went They won eight.
Did they win eight?
I'll say they're over under 6.5, 5.5 or
yeah,
six.
Yeah, I'd say seven.
Yeah, with a 12-game suspension, so he plays five games.
Yeah.
Last year they went 8-9. They would 7.8.
Okay.
Yeah. Eight-game suspension.
8.5.
Breach says higher. Yes, it's higher. Breach 8.5. Breach is now reading the email. I see.
I don't not read emails. It's total.
Sure. Breach.
4-game suspension. That's going to be higher. Breach. Just so you know.
Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man.
9.5.
Brenson.
9.6.
Nine even.
Why do you got to prices right me and then lose?
You're mad that you won and no suspension. This is Deshaun's there for 17 games.
10.5.
Yeah, it's 11.
9.1.
Wow.
So
there's only a 0.1 difference between a 4-game suspension and no game suspension.
That's right.
I guess the opening part of the schedule is that easy.
Or so,
that's a very confusing set of numbers.
Steven just said the Sims are not as high as most on Cleveland, even with Deshaun Watson there the whole time. This is how the numbers change if Watson is suspended by 4, 8, or 12 games. That's all he said. I think the overarching point is that maybe Deshaun Watson can't fix everything that's broken in Cleveland. It's not the personnel. I just feel like there's just something, you know.
Amari Cooper now, I mean, I don't know. I think the Browns.
But let me ask you this. Amari Cooper, I get. I like him. He's a good player. How many more wins is he worth than Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham? That's my point. I mean, he's a good player for sure, but does he
match Cooper?
Yeah.
Like 0.1?
Right. That's my point. I mean, yes, he's great, but he's not like everyone thought Odell Beckham was going to change that organization, and the exact opposite happened.
Yeah.
9.1 does sound extremely low. I'm not sure where Caesars is. I don't have the – maybe I do have it in front of me. Caesars had them at – 9.5. So it's not even that big of a difference.
Yeah.
The Ravens, Bengals, and Browns are all at 9.5. And if you're ranking those three, is anyone taking the Browns anywhere other than third?
I don't know. I feel like they're all pretty close. I mean,
okay, I'm asking you to rank them.
If Watson is there for all 17 games, then I probably go Bengals, Browns, Ravens.
Why?
I don't know.
Ravens. Why? Bengals, Browns.
Yeah, like,
we just said the Browns won 8 games with Baker Mayfield, who was playing with half an arm for the season. So you upgrade at quarterback, who's also going to be healthy. Then I have to think they're maybe a 10-win, maybe 11-win team.
You're assuming that this isn't the Browns. They're not playing in Cleveland. Like if this team was playing in Boise, Idaho, or something, you'd be like, oh, this is a 14-win team. But they're playing in Cleveland, a city.
I think the Ravens are due for a bounce back, and I don't think the Bengals are going to have some massive drop off. So I think the Browns are the third best
team. And by the way, the Bengals had 50 guys injured last year or on COVID or whatever.
Either the Ravens or the Bengals?
The Ravens, sorry, yes. Baltimore.
Yeah. Have you seen the adjusted games loss numbers for Baltimore?
It's probably through the roof.
All right. So I looked at this because I was on Bill Barnwell's pod and we talked about this.
You were?
Yeah. that was a joke. In 2020, counting COVID, the 49ers had 166 adjusted games lost per Football Outsiders.
Who was hurt?
2020, not last year, 2020.
I mean, I'm trying to think back.
Nick Bosa missed the whole season.
Jimmy
G missed the whole season, basically. No, they had a bad year. Everybody threw their ACLs in the Meadowlands when they played back-to-back games there.
That's right. Okay.
The next closest team was 130. So there's 166, huge number, counting COVID. What would you guess the Baltimore Ravens adjusted games lost was in 2021?
What was the 49ers again? What was it?
166.
185.
Breach.
192.
It's going to be higher, yeah.
I think it was 199.
Dang, Breach. Breach
looked at the end of the insanely high number.
Well, they had four guys tear their ACL. It was
probably 192 and Breach is cheating, but that's fine.
Like, four guys tore their ACL before the season, and then J.K. Dobbins on the very first play or whatever
in
preseason.
No, Dobbins tore his in training camp. Then Gus Edwards tore his, like, the next day. And then maybe they brought in Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman. And
like, I thought J.K. tore his on the first preseason game. But either way, yeah. Marcus, yeah. Marcus Peters.
Just found it, 191.2.
Yeah, you read it.
That's weird how you found that so fast.
Yeah.
No, I literally just found it right now.
Yeah.
When you said it out loud, we know.
Does anybody cheat more at
The 49ers again this year had the fourth highest and they made it to the NFC title game.
Breach is the college football coach who cheats and continually gets caught and says he didn't cheat. That's,
yeah, Breach is like Will Wade or
who's Will Wade?
The LSU guy who like they hired him and like he can't believe he got fired even though he's on an FBI wiretap, like handing a 17-year-old kid like a giant Adidas bag. It says like Adidas and has like a dollar sign on it. He's right. Like, here's your illegal shoe money to come play for me, Will Wade at LSU in basketball.
Oh, Mr. basketball.
So Breach is like, cheating me? It's like, sir, we just played the audio tape of you handing the kid money. Breach is like, that's not me. It's like,
I think the Bengals, Ravens, and Browns are all neck and neck. I think they're all going to win double-digit games.
Ronnie Stanley got hurt. That's right. Anyway, I think the Browns are the third best team.
And it might be the fourth when Mr. Trubisky catches fire.
Yeah, maybe so. Or Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Any other news that we need to get to from the last week?
I'll throw one more thing and we'll just touch on it quickly. Because it is about my Cincinnati Bengals. Jesse Bates saying that he or reportedly will not play under the franchise tag. So if the Bengals are going to will not negotiate, if they can't get a long-term deal done, Bates is insinuating that he will sit out this season.
What is historically has Mike Brown done in such situations?
I mean, historically, Mike Brown makes an offer and doesn't budge. He says, this is what you're worth. This is what you're getting. Take it or leave it. And I don't know that they are. I mean, it's not, the negotiations aren't great right now. So I don't know if they're going to get a long-term contract then, but I also do not think that Jesse Bates is going to sit out the entire season. We saw what happened to Le'Veon Bell. No matter how good you are sitting out a season and then losing that money and then losing future earnings, it costs you everything. And I don't think Jesse Bates can be willing to give up $12.9 million or whatever the cap number is for safety. So even though this is ugly right now, I'm 99.99% sure he is going to play in 2022, whether he has a new deal or not.
I don't know if the Bengals need him. Like, I love Jesse Bates, but that team is so good. They drafted Dax Hill. Maybe Mike Brown can convince himself that we're fine. We can use that money elsewhere, even though how often have they been up against a salary cap breach?
Well, it's almost like, no, Bengals are always, they don't throw their money away. And the way they structure contracts doesn't allow them. They don't ever really deal with big amounts of dead cap money. They don't big dead cap hits, so they're fine financially.
The Bengals, that's just a nice way of saying the Bengals are cheap as hell.
Are you, how badly do you want
Brenton, them to? The Bengals are frugal.
How badly do you want them to re-sign Jesse Bates on a scale of 1 to 10, Breach?
Oh, like a 7.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it's, if he didn't play this season, I don't think it's going to destroy their defense, but he's a team leader and he's played well the last few seasons. You want him out there.
Right. All right. Just checking.
All right. I'll do it. I'll do Donkey. No Shrek for you.
Mm-hmm. Like that's been Shrek? Your biggest contribution to this podcast, but yes, thank you. Doing Shrek impressions.
I thought my Jimbo impression was all right.
Oh, my God.
You did a Jimbo impression? You're not even Jimbo. You're Nick Saban.
Jimbo, talk fast. Jimbo, fast talk. All right, that's it for the show. We'll be back tomorrow with a mailbag.
Mailbag.
I can't lie. It won't be live. But it'll air at 1 o'clock. If you'll hang out with us, just don't expect us to chat with you. And then, of course, it'll be in the podcast feed for Monday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Wilson, for Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.